Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Hey, welcome to episode 50. Just so glad that you're here spending some time with us. And that's right, I said episode 50. We are at the big 5-0, y'all. So we started this podcast over 60 weeks ago. It's been over 400 days. I'm sure I could throw out a whole bunch more numbers that sound awesome, but I just want to say that so much has changed from the time that we started the podcast to now, whether it be how the podcast sounds, we've changed theme music, we've gone to every week instead of every other week, and the most obvious is that all of our conversations have been recorded remotely due to COVID and the artist not being able to travel. But through all of that change, the one thing that stayed constant is just how much I love getting to share the stories of the people behind the artists. And I say this a million times, I'm sure I've said this a million times here, is what I love about Christian music is how the music is an outpouring of what God has done in the artists' lives, or what God's done in the people's lives behind the music. And I just love getting to share those stories. So we've had a ton of awesome conversations in the past. I'm excited for the conversations that are coming. And most of all, I'm just so appreciative of the support that y'all have shown me. So, man, 50 has been awesome. And I'm looking forward to, can we just say 1,000 more? Yeah, why not? Let's say I'm looking forward to the next 1,000. Our guest for this episode is none other than Natalie Grant. And at the start of this conversation, I talk about an interview that I'd read about her journey becoming a mother and some of the struggles that have come around that. And I don't want to retell that story, so I'm going to link the article in the show notes here. But I encourage you to go read that because she has a really powerful testimony, not only what we're going to hear in just a minute, but that details that side of it so much more that, like I said, I just don't want to retell that story. I want you to hear it from her. So once you get done with this episode here, go look for the show notes and go find that article and read about that. Please hear that from her own voice. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Natalie Grant. So we have Natalie Grant here hanging out with us for a minute. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
When I was getting ready for this, it was like, okay, how do I handle this? Like, you have Hope International with the child trafficking. You have a new album out. You've done some shows at the Ryman and your story as well. It's like, I have no idea where to start with this. This whole episode, you have so much going on.
Wow.
Let's just start with your story. That's where I love to start. And it took me a minute to dig, but I think you're loving being married to a girl dad. It took me a minute to find that. Not sure about this. I mean, it's all over your Instagram feed.
Right? Yeah, he's a good one. He's a good one. And God knew what he was doing when he gave him 3 daughters. He's a perfect girl dad.
So I'm at 2 girls right now. The third one is yet to be determined.
Oh, congratulations, though.
Thank you.
Amazing.
So statistically, I'm thinking it's going to be a girl. I'm still kind of holding out that little shred of hope.
Just that little tiny shred. And if nothing else, you can do what we did. And we got a boy dog. Yeah.
My dogs are both girls too. So I'm just up a creek without a paddle.
You're done for. Yep.
My uncle has 3 girls as well. So it gives me hope that it can be done and successfully. So
yes.
So thank you, Birdie, for giving me hope. Birdie's also your producer, your keyboardist. Yep. So you get to spend a lot of time with him in your music career as well. So that's just awesome to see.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because so we've been married for, we just celebrated 21 years, which is hard to believe. I feel like now I'm at that age where people marvel at how fast time is going. But honestly, the way we met was actually because I was getting my first record deal. And I say that because my story is a little bit interesting. My first record deal was with a record company called Benson Records. They were the oldest Christian record label. And I got that deal back in 1997. And I needed to do a showcase for the label. And I had just moved to Nashville. I didn't know any like players or band or, and somebody from the label recommended Bernie. They're like, oh, we know this great piano player. And so I actually hired him to play for me. And that's actually how we met. And so we've been doing music together literally from the start. Music before anything else.
That's so awesome. One of the things that I kind of wanted to highlight, or at least talk a little bit about, is I was reading an article from, I think it was Family Life, you know, as I was doing a little bit before this interview, just your story with your girls and just kind of leading into that season. I read that and then I listened to Praise You in the Storm just coming out on your new album. I mean, and just the power in that parallel. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, because that song obviously is one of the great Christian songs. In my mind, it's one of the best ever written. And I say that a little bit biased because my husband wrote it with Mark Hall.
No bias.
And right, just a slightly biased, but I also just think it's just one of the greats, you know? And they wrote that back in late 2005, early 2006. I think it came out in the end of 2006. And, you know, that was right at the time that my husband and I were told that we would not be able to conceive a child. And I'll actually never forget where I was the moment that the doctor called. I was actually at the Ryman in Nashville. I was 20 minutes away from taking the stage to sing with Wynonna Judd for the first time.
Oh man!
And I was like, I'm about to like live this dream. It's amazing. And my phone rings and I'm like, hello. They're like, hey, we got your results back. We need to make another appointment, but we did want to let you know you guys have less than a 3%. And I'm like, how do you even come up with like 1%, 3%, 4%? So they're like, you know, so basically you guys are not going to be able to get pregnant. And I was trying to hold it together. And at that time, go out and sing a song called He's Going to Bring It Together for Good and sing it and believe it at the same time. That song that Bernie wrote with Mark actually wrote it for a girl in his youth group that passed away from cancer. And it was kind of like a gift for her family, right? And so I remember back then how Bernie had no idea how that message was going to carry even him. You're a part of these songwriting processes and you hope and pray they're going to bless somebody else. You're like, every time I write a song, I'm like, Lord, take this right to the person who needs it as an anchor. And you have no idea that he's going to use it for your own life and your own heart. But then you fast forward from 2006 and how we learned that. And then in 2007, we gave birth to twins and the faithfulness of God, right? When you're in the thick of the storm, it's so easy to forget that he always pulls you through. It doesn't mean that he's going to do it on your timetable, but you'll always get to the other side of a storm and you'll always be able to look back and say, yep, he was faithful. Yep, he never left me. Yep, he was always with me. And I feel like Bernie had gotten through that season and all of a sudden like, wait a second, I praised in the storm. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but I praised anyway and look at his faithfulness. And then you fast forward 11 years later to 2017, and I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer and told that I would probably never be able to sing the same way again. Wow. And I knew that they were going to get the tumor out, but where the tumor was, it was sitting against my vocal nerve. And so the surgeons had said, hey, we're going to get the cancer out, but your voice is never going to be the same again. And all of a sudden, a song that my husband had written 11 years before that carried him began to carry me. And that's really why I decided to re-record it. Because it was like, it didn't matter that it was over a decade old. What mattered is that when that song is rooted in the word of God, it's always going to stand the test of time.
Absolutely. Well, and look at what's going on in the world right now. I mean,
yeah.
We have this huge storm that's brewing.
And yes.
One of the things that has really come to me is just that image of Jesus in the boat as they get caught in that storm. And yes. The disciples are freaking out. Everything's going on. They wake him and he's like, what are you whining about? Like, that's my paraphrase of it.
What's your problem? I'm right here.
You know, and then the storm just calms. You know, I just, through this, the image just really keeps coming to the forefront in my brain.
Right. And you know, it's funny because you bring up that story and there's two different accounts of that story, kind of in Matthew and Mark. And there's something about that story, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I love that story so much. And I feel like a lot of people have always, I'm talking about the story when Jesus actually met them in the boat. He walked on the water to them and they're freaking out and he shows up, right? And I think a lot of times people focus on that end miracle, which was that Jesus walked on the water and then Peter walked on the water. That's like the thing you focus on. But I always like to kind of go back a little bit. And if you remember, Jesus had just fed the 5,000, right? And he had said, hey, I want you guys to go ahead to the other side and I'm going to stay behind and pray. Do we think that God did not know that he was sending his disciples straight into the path of a storm? And I think sometimes in our fuzzy, feel good, BFF with Jesus theology, we like to think, well, no, that's not God, but he'll work it out. Well, no, the Bible actually says he laid burdens on our backs. What do we do as a parent, right? When your child needs correction, you correct them and it usually hurts a little bit. And I think that for me, that story, the greatest miracle is that the disciples, Jesus was like, listen, you're going to get scared, but you're going to learn more about my character in the storm than you ever will when you're on the mountaintop. And I think that for me, that story has actually been one that's been so key to my own relationship with Christ, because the other thing is that, yes, he did calm the storm, but when he first showed up, the storm was still raging. And I just think that sometimes we just think we beg Jesus, like, stop the storm, stop the storm, stop the storm, stop the storm. And he's like, wait a second, I'll actually find you in the storm. And it might still be raging, but you're going to be okay. Actually, you're going to be okay. There's peace in the middle of it. And I love that you brought that story up, because I've really learned a lot about his character through that story.
Well, and also not only walking on the water, but sometimes he's there with us and we forget about that.
Yes. We're asking him to show up and he's like, I'm here. I'm here, guys.
So what I love about that re-record is just that extra dimension with the orchestra and just that extra space. I mean, when Cash and Crowns did it back then, you know, the modern band, if you will, kind of feel to it was awesome. Yeah. But just that orchestral that just gives it that extra bit of atmosphere in the middle of that is just incredible for me.
Thank you. It's funny because, you know, one of the things as we were going into creating this new record, it was less about having songs and this. It was more about creating an experience because of how we had really experienced that ever-present help in Christ over the last few years. And I had said to my husband, okay, so if we're trying to create that experience lyrically, then what does that experience sound like sonically to you? And he was like, it sounds like the London Symphony. He sounds like the symphony. Like it sounds like that sound. When you think of the sound of heaven, you think of that like sound. And there was something about stripping everything away and having just the piano and then that orchestration. And Bernie wrote that orchestration. And I think it's so brilliant. But Mark, actually, after we sent it to him, he said, this is so brilliant because it actually captures the tension between the chaos and the beauty. Just the sound of it, you feel the tension of the chaos and the beauty, which is exactly where he calls us to sit. And I loved that description.
That is incredible. So I want to talk a little bit about what you're also doing with child trafficking, and it's Hope International, right?
It's Hope for Justice. Hope for Justice. Close.
Terrible. Google machine, you failed me. It's actually my memory, but.
No, that's the story of my life too. I get it. We're parents. That's what happens.
I'm claiming an 8-month-old situation here. Like, it's not the case,
it's
but.
It's real. Yeah,
it's probably not, but since I have that as an excuse, I'm going to use it. Talk a little bit about your work there and just with the child trafficking and just, I would say modern day slavery that we're still trying to work and get rid of.
So I learned about it back in 2004. And in a very strange way, I was actually watching Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And I never thought I would say that Law and Order changed my life. But I actually think it's a really kind of like key thing that I feel like God is actually always speaking. I don't mean audibly, like I've actually never heard him audibly, but he's speaking in the everyday. And I think we always are waiting for the big moment in a church or in a conference or in a big, like, you know, and I'm like, no, that day God was speaking through Law and Order to me. And that episode made me kind of go, wait a second, this isn't real. Like kids aren't being sold. Like, what are they talking about? And I always thought, well, Law and Order is based on real cases. And they were showing these children being sold in New York City. And I was like, this is not real. And I literally Googled, is human trafficking real? And that's actually where I began to learn the statistics. And then about 3 months later, through that research, my husband and I literally just took a trip to India. And there was an organization there, a wonderful, just Jesus-loving man that was just helping some kids in just one community that he was in. And I mean, we saw kids for sale on the street. I saw what must have been no older than a six-year-old girl in a cage in a second-story window. I mean, it was just right out in the open. And you're like, this can't even be real life. You know, it seemed like an alternate universe. But I do say that I was wrecked for life in that moment. And so I started an organization back in 2005. It actually started as the Home Foundation. Then it became Abolition International. And then in 2013, I merged together with a friend from England who was working on it. And together we became known as Hope for Justice. And I have to tell you that when I say that I founded it, I'm always really careful to say, listen, I hold a microphone on a stage and I talk about it, but I am not the hero. The only thing that I was I was obedient to what I felt God was asking me to do. I acted upon it instead of waiting for an invitation. I just acted. And I think that that has made all the difference. But the organization now is 4 continents, 22 offices. Last year, they rescued over 100,000 kids. Just 3 days ago, they rescued somebody here in Nashville that was being trafficked and reunited her with her family. Wow. And I mean, we're just living in crazy times, but at the same time, people are talking about this issue more than ever before. But, and again, I don't want to turn this interview into something that's tense or weird, but the one thing that I'm just careful to ask everybody is make sure that when you know that God is moving on your heart about an issue, that you're not just jumping on a bandwagon, that people are all of a sudden going, oh, well, what about the children? Because don't tell me I have to wear a mask because you're not talking about the children or what, don't tell me, right? All of these different issues that we're all facing in this crazy 2020 together. But this particular issue for me, you kind of watch, yes, it's getting more attention than ever. And thank you, Jesus, that more children, I believe, are going to be rescued than ever before. Absolutely. But we need people that in 2021 are going to be talking about it. And in 2022 are going to be talking about it. And in 2023, because some of the people that are all of a sudden screaming, I'm like, wait a second. I told you about that back in 2006. And where was your rage then, you know? And for me, that's just a little bit of a gut check, not condemnation, but a gut check to say, hey, let's make sure that we're not using an issue to try to strengthen our opinion or our agenda or to be divisive, deflecting from something else. Let's make sure that we say, Jesus, this has to stop. And we know that this breaks your heart, and show us what we can do to be a part of the solution outside of just an Instagram post, right?
Exactly. I mean, you touched on something that's been not necessarily passion, but that's been strong on my heart over a lot of the stuff that's been going on as well, just because it's everybody's yelling about it in this particular moment.
Yes.
And it's like, where was this 5 years ago? Where was this when this started?
Because people were talking about it. They were making movies about it. They were like, people knew. They can't say they didn't know because they did.
Exactly. I think it's so easy, especially as Christians, you know, especially on an issue like this, to jump on the bandwagon. This is happening. This is wrong. This is all this. And it's good in the moment, but where is the lasting impact on that? You know, it's great in this political season. It's great when it's right here.
Yes.
But actually, I don't want to get in that tension and condemnation
you don't
side
want to get
either.
Stepped down there in the weeds.
Yeah. Let's not take that rabbit trail down this.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's just so much work that just needs constant attention, not just a political
It does. And I think that honestly, if there's one thing for me, and again, this has nothing to do with the music or anything else, but just where I'm at in my own life personally, if there's one thing that God, I feel like God is showing me in 2020, it's funny, like at the start of 2020, right? Everyone was like 2020 vision. This is the year of great vision. This is the year we're like, it's like a record scratch. We're like, wait a second. This isn't turning out the way we thought it was supposed to. I actually still think it is a year where things are being brought into very clear focus, actually. Yeah. So I still think it is about a 2020 vision. It's just not the way we thought it was going to be. And I think more than ever before, God is actually after his church. And he's saying, guys, you've made some things, some idols. You've actually, listen, politics are important, but we're not of this world. Our kingdom, our citizenship is in another land. And you guys are making this an idol, actually, in your life. And you need to break it down. You need to get back to loving the lost and telling them the gospel and bringing people to Jesus. And you know what I mean? And I do think that the Lord is saying, hey, there's been a season where my church has been stuck down in the weeds. And this is an opportunity for you to realize that I've actually called you out of the weeds. Yeah. And to soar up here and to actually help bring people up to the heights where I am instead of staying down in the weeds where nothing gets accomplished because it's just divisive. And that's what I feel like the Lord is really showing me, that you have to be careful what you jump on and what you read and what you're believing and what, because you're like, wait, all of this has an agenda attached to it. So you got to, I literally have it right next to me. You got to get back to reading this. Yep. That's the word. This is like the one thing that's steadfast and never changes. Yep. And I feel like this is kind of a wake-up call for the church.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I have become convinced of is you don't have to be a champion for every cause. Well, let me rephrase. That's probably not the right way to put that. You don't have to be.
I get what you mean, though.
Yes, you don't have to be nose deep in everything. You know, it's find what you're passionate about to fix and to make the impact on and run with that. You as a single person do not have to solve everything all in one fell swoop.
Right. And you know, that's what a lot of people too. That's the argument right now. Well, don't tell me about this issue because I'm not hearing you speak about this issue. And the thing is speaking about human trafficking doesn't mean that another issue isn't important to me or isn't as important. It just means that I believe that God has called me in this moment to use a platform that he's given me to speak about this particular issue. And yes, I think so many other things are terrible and need addressing and need other people to step up and say, well, I'm going to choose that one and become passionate about that. But I think that even when you look at Jesus's miracles, right? I mean, I think about the guy that was sitting at the pools of Bethesda and Jesus came along one day and he healed him. And in that moment, he didn't heal every other person that had an ailment around there. Yeah. He focused on that guy in that moment and he healed his ailment. And Jesus was still healing a whole bunch of people. And he still offers healing. And he still believes that those other issues that people had were worthy and needed attention. But in that moment, he gave it to the guy at the pools of Bethesda. And he said, okay, you can get up now. You're not lame anymore. And I think that when we just get back to looking at Jesus, it kind of helps put things in proper perspective.
Yep, absolutely. So before we run out of time here, I do want to talk about the new album that just came out. Yeah. It's been 5 years. What gives?
You know, it's really funny. It does not feel like that. I mean, I cannot believe it's been 5 years because the longest I've ever gone is like maybe 2.5, almost 3 years. I've never been a quick creative. I marvel at people. like, you know, even some of these worship bands that just every 12 months they're putting out a record, and you're like, incredible. How do you even write songs that fast? Like, I just marvel at it because I don't have that gift. I think mostly because I kind of feel like I'm less about just making songs, and I've always felt like more of a truth teller, and I just use the gift of song to do it. And usually I have to have something happen in life, fail, fall down, you know, and I've got to learn a lesson from the Lord, and then I write a song about it. And that takes time. But halfway through there, I already mentioned it earlier, but I was diagnosed with cancer. And so kind of like in that 2-year mark, it was like, well, am I even going to be able to sing? And then, okay, you can still sing. Your voice still works. And then this is what happened. Yeah. So a bunch of people, well-meaning, beautiful, loving, had a word for me. And it was always, God has preserved your voice is stronger than ever. You're going to write the songs of your life. You're going to sing the songs of your life. You're going to do things you've never done before. And while I was like, that is so precious, what if they're just okay? What if they're not the songs of my life? You know, like, what if they're just like kind of good songs, or like, what do the songs of my life even sound like? And I actually internalized that as pressure. And so for about 18 months, I was stuck in this creative block, and I would try to write and I couldn't. And it really was an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And by that, I mean, we know about his omnipresence, his presence, which is everywhere at all times. But his manifest presence is his presence made known. That's how scripture defines the two. And when Moses prayed in Exodus 33, he said, show me your glorious presence. That became my prayer. God, show me your glorious presence. In the midst of my confusion, show me your glorious presence. And he answered that prayer. And that's really kind of where all of these songs came from, was to create an experience for somebody to go, okay, he is not a stranger. He's made himself known to you. The King of the world actually makes himself known to you. He calls you friend, and you are known to him. And I think that when we actually begin to digest that reality, that he is with us, that that's more than just some statement, but that it's a tangible reality in our lives, my prayer is that this music helps people experience that.
That's so cool. And I will agree, it does not seem like it's been 5 years. I mean, I remember Isn't He and
Yes,
King of the World.
Okay, well, that one came out with my church. So that came out in 2017. So see, I had like a couple of things here and there in between. So it didn't feel like a full 5 years.
Yep. And then Even Louder won a We Love Award last year.
Yes. And thank you for that. But I love Stephen Malcolm, and I love that song.
Oh, I do too. Like that gets an automatic turn up in the car.
And I love, we did a new version on this record with Stephen and with Mr. Talkbox. And it just, I love it. I turn it, and I don't usually listen to my own music because I'm too self-critical, but that one I turn up.
That is so cool. Well, we are excited for this album coming out.
Thank you.
It just came out.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just so excited to have music that God would, in the middle of a crazy season, still be allowing so many of us to create and create music that encourages hearts. You know, it's, all is not lost.
It's just been so incredible that so much music has come out during this season.
Yes.
And I've heard so many stories of, well, I didn't write it for the season, but here we are.
But here we are. And it's like God knew that we would need it in this season.
Yes. Awesome. Well, we just thank you so much for hanging out with us for a while
now. Thank you for having me. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.